time.
And I just want to say, when my time comes, I want to be buried face down so that anyone who doesn't like me can kiss my ass.
Hour two of overtime, kicking off right now, 7:01. Hour one went fantastic. A lot smoother than I thought. Let's see. Let me pull my show prep up here, be professional.
Blues.
Yeah, I talked about their phenomenal win last night. Congratulations to St. Louis again. An absolute beautiful city. I have not been back in years. Used to go all the time. To Cardinals games all the time, but have not been in quite a while. Need to get back soon, but congratulations to you. And then we talked about the Raptors and the Warriors, which it seems like SportsCenter has been talking about them all day as well.
Of course.
Classic. They knew we were talking about them. They just can't do anything without us.
Nope.
Talked about that a little bit. Gave our predictions. And then, let's see, we also talked about NCAA scandal, how we don't think anything's going to happen. They're kind of hyping it up as if stuff will, but we all know it will not. And then we got into the real A.J. Cook's latest piece, heartwarming wins for Tennessee over the last 10 years. Some great stuff in there. Go give it a read over on the website. And then, as we always do, at least for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, during the summer, we did our Mount Rushmore. We did about donuts. I think everybody had a strong list. I don't think there was a list that anybody gave that I disagreed with.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of the donut. I don't think there are really any bad donuts. Now, there are some that aren't as good as others. I will say that. But I don't think I've ever had a donut I didn't like.
Yeah,
I'll be
pretty
honest
much
with you.
All delicious.
I'll be honest with you. They're all absolutely delicious. But it is 7:03. It is the first segment of Hour 2. And you know what time it is. It is time for the recruiting update. Matt, go ahead and hit the music.
Philip Fulmer has been doused with Tostitos chips, perhaps. Who cares? Here come Tennessee fans from everywhere. Here comes media from everywhere. You can count it down with us. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The national champion is clad in big orange.
Are you ready for it? Yeah. Are you ready?
Okay. Tonight we will start with Mr. Arian Smith. Mr. Smith, out of Lakeland, Florida, at Lakeland High School. He is on campus today, tweeted out Knoxville, Tennessee, today. Pretty self-explanatory. He's a corner in the 2020 class. Let's see here. Rated as a corner, but then rated again as a wide receiver, so maybe just an athlete. 6'1", 170-pound guy. Four-star guy, according to 247 Sports. 74th overall player nationally, 14th-ranked wide receiver and number 11 player out of Florida for this year's class. Other offers come from Florida, Florida State, Texas A&M, Alabama, Alcorn State, and of course Tennessee. So maybe Tennessee could get a much needed wide receiver commit in this 2020 class, seeing how they have zero.
Much needed.
Much needed. We move on to Darian Henry. Mr. Henry is on campus as well. Will be on campus tomorrow through Sunday. He tweeted out a graphic, which I'm sure UT gave him. Hashtag GBO is all he says in his graphic. A very nice-looking graphic, if I do say so myself. Mr. Henry is out of Cincinnati, Ohio, at Princeton High School. He is a defensive tackle in the 2020 class, 6'4.5", 279 pounds. Four-star guy, according to 247 Sports composite rankings, 11th overall defensive tackle in the 2020 class and second-best player out of Ohio. Being an Ohio native, of course, crystal ball predictions 100% to the Buckeyes. No shock there. Other offers come from LSU, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Georgia, Kentucky, and, of course, Tennessee. We move on to Xavier Hill. I believe we talked about him yesterday or the day before, but he is also on campus, will be on campus this weekend. He tweeted out a very nice graphic as well and only said GBO as well. It's like they're telling these boys what to say. Mr. Hill out of Olive Branch, Mississippi at Olive Branch High School, an offensive guard in the 2020 class, 6'3", 325 pounds, three-star guy, according to 247 Sports, 28th overall offensive guard in the 2020 class and ninth best player out of Mississippi. Offers come from Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Tennessee, and many more. Next, another visitor who is on campus today, Mr. KJ Miles Jr. He tweeted out a picture of Neyland Stadium. He said, "We are here at Vol football." Mr. Miles is out of Jersey City, New Jersey at St. Peter's Prep, a defensive end in the 2022 class. Even though he is in the 2022 class, he's already a full-grown man. 6'3 and a half, 261 pounds.
Woo!
An absolute unit of a young man.
Jeez.
No crystal ball predictions at the moment. No rankings at the moment. Other offers come from Alabama, Baylor, Kentucky, UMass, Michigan, and, of course, Tennessee. We move on. I believe that's all the visitors for today. Yes, it is. We move on to Reggie Brown. Mr. Brown has been given a scholarship offer to Tennessee. He tweets, "Extremely blessed to receive my first SEC offer from the University of Tennessee. Thank you, Coach Johnson." Mr. Brown, out of Houston, Texas, at Legacy, the School of Sports Science down in Texas. Tight end in the 2020 class, 6'3", 233 pounds. Three-star guy, according to 247 Sports, 50th overall tight end in the 2020 class and 160th overall player coming out of Texas. Other offers come from Alabama State, East Carolina, FAU, Louisiana Monroe, Louisville, and now, of course, Tennessee. Next, Liam Clifford, the big red dog. Just kidding. Mr. Clifford has also been given a scholarship offer to Tennessee. He tweets, "Extremely blessed and excited to have received an offer from the University of Tennessee. Hashtag go Vols." Let's see. Clifford, out of Cincinnati, Ohio, at St. Xavier High School, is an athlete in the 2021 class, 6'2", 195 pounds. Three-star guy, according to 247 Sports, 54th overall wideout in that 2021 class and 12th overall player coming out of Ohio. Other offers come from Cincinnati, Duke, Michigan, Penn State, Pittsburgh, and a new Tennessee offer. A few more tonight. Let's see. DeAndre Moore Jr., Mr. Moore Jr., is out of Las Vegas, Nevada, over at Desert Pines High School, which is also where a five-star tight end slash athlete Darnell Washington plays. Maybe we can get a package deal. However, Mr. Moore is in the 2023 class, however, but he has been given a scholarship to Tennessee. He tweets, AG2G, extremely blessed to have my seventh offer to the University of Tennessee, hashtag go Vols. Mr. Moore, a receiver in that 2023 class, 5'11", 180 pounds. Other offers come from Alabama, Arizona State, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, and now Tennessee. Next, we have Nick Demetrius. Mr. Demetrius has been given a scholarship offer to Tennessee. He tweets, "All glory to God, blessed to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee. Hashtag GBO, hashtag Go Vols." Mr. Demetrius, a defensive end in the 2021 class. He's out of Baldwin Park, California at Sierra Nevada High School. No rankings at the moment, no crystal ball predictions at the moment. Other offers come from Arizona State, Auburn, Colorado, Florida, Kansas, and now Tennessee. And then one more for tonight. Let me pull him back up here since I accidentally deleted him. J.J. Davis has been given a scholarship offer to Tennessee. Mr. Davis tweets, "Blessed to have received an offer from the University of Tennessee. Hashtag powered by the T. Hashtag go Vols." Mr. Davis, out of Bluefield, West Virginia at Bluefield High School, a running back in the 2020 class, 6'1", 195 pounds, three-star guy, according to 247 Sports, 48th overall running back in the class, number one player out of West Virginia. Current crystal ball predictions, no shocker, 100% to the Mountaineers of West Virginia. Other offers come from, let's see, West Virginia, shocking, Tennessee, Cincinnati, Marshall, Maryland, Old Dominion, just to name a few. And that will conclude a Thursday edition of the recruiting update.
Well done, well done.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
Thank you very much. Let's see here. Let me find a little throwaway topic for us, because to be honest with you, I thought that was going to run a little bit longer than I did. I talked a little too fast. We mentioned him yesterday, and we will mention him again the accolades continue to roll in for him. I'm talking about one Mr. Al Solari. Yesterday he was named to the, let's see, the Perfect Game in Rawlings All-American Honorable Mention list. Mm-hmm. Well, today he has been named to another All-American list. Today, Mr. Solari named to the D1 Baseball All-American Third Team list.
Wow.
Congratulations to him.
He's killing it.
He is. He really is. I believe that's the fourth.
Yep, fourth.
Fourth offer, or fourth award or All-American team given to him this year. You know, there's almost too much of that stuff in baseball.
Yeah.
There really is.
There really is.
There's too many rankings. There's too many All-American teams. I feel like there's 100 All-American teams.
Yeah.
I mean, can we have like one, maybe two? I mean, college football has the coaches poll and the AP poll.
Yep.
And I think that's fun.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You look at college baseball and there's like six.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. But let's see. Looking here, UT did put out a little piece on Mr. Solari. They say sophomore Al Solari has earned D1 baseball third team All-American honors. The organization announced on Thursday the outfielder burst onto the scene in his first season at the D1 level, leading the Vols in batting average at .357, run scored with 52, slugging percentage at .602, and on-base percentage at .466, while ranking second on the team in hits with 70, home runs with 11, runs batted in with 46, and total bases with 118. So a very productive season for Mr. Solari. Let's see. They continue by saying Solari was one of the top hitters in the SEC, finishing the regular season ranked among the top three in the league in batting average, slugging percentage, and on-base percentage. Solari also finished the year ranked fifth in batting average with .364, eighth in hits with 40, and tied for ninth in runs scored with 28 during conference play, earning himself first-team All-SEC honors. The Houston Texan native is just the second UT player to earn postseason All-American recognition by D1 Baseball, joining Nick Senzel, who garnered third-team accolades back in 2016 before being selected by the Cincinnati Reds with the number two overall pick in the 2016 MLB draft. And then if you want to see the complete list of the 2019 D1 Baseball All-American team, they put the link there. So another award for Mr. Solari. He seems to be the leader moving forward, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's going to be fun to watch.
I mean, it seems like this young the young talent that Coach Vitello has over there, they all seem to be very productive. They all seem to already play like upperclassmen,
mm-hmm.
like juniors and seniors that have been here for a while. But he kind of seems to be the leader of the pack. He kind of seems to be taking that next step. He seems to be the leader of the future, the captain of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Will that change? Maybe. But as of right now, he is just raking all of these awards in. And I'm here for it. I'll tell you what. I do like baseball. I don't like it more than football. I do like it more than basketball. I would love to see Tennessee have a great baseball team.
Oh,
I would.
Yeah, I know.
It would be fun. I went to one of those. I went to one of the games where you can go on the little porch on the side,
mm-hmm.
And you're allowed to like bring beer and you can grill out there too.
Bring what you want.
It was a blast.
Yeah,
like it's a lot of fun, and it would be a lot more fun if you know everyone was getting behind them and you know we were winning some games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's been talk about Coach Vitello wanting to do renovations to the stadium. They already renovated the field. It looks fantastic. Renovating the actual stadium, I think that is a fantastic idea.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how much you renovate a stadium or a turf or whatever. If you don't put a product out there, nobody really cares.
Gotta have a good team.
And it seems like, at least right now, Coach Vitello seems like the guy to get both sides of that done. He seems like he knows what he's doing on the field with those guys, and he seems to know what he's doing when it comes to renovations and stadiums and whatnot. So it could be a perfect storm for Tennessee. We still have to wait and see if he will get an extension. I know he's still in his contract he signed just a few years ago, but there has been talk about giving him a raise, maybe even another extension, so nobody else steals him away. We'll still have to wait and see on that. But Tennessee seems to have a good coach as of now, seems to have great young players. And if you're a Tennessee baseball fan, like we all are in here, at least we better be, you got to love what you're seeing.
They got
knocked out a little too early this year in the NCAA and SEC tournaments. But, hey, so did Rick Barnes, and look at him. So
we'll have
to wait and see. Let's go ahead and hit this first break of hour number two. On the flip side, let's see here. We will talk about, one, Mr. Trent Dilfer. Hadn't heard from him in a while. His new job, We'll play birthdays later. Summer of Smoke is still going on. We'll update you on that. And many, many more hot topics, hot issues right now. Don't change the dial. We will be right back. You are listening to Overtime on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to Overtime. Before the break, I mentioned we will talk about Trent Dilfer now. Is everybody familiar with Trent Dilfer? Both of y'all?
Yeah.
Let's see, he played for the Ravens in the NFL. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, Super Bowl champion, I think.
Super Bowl champ.
Yeah.
A longtime NFL analyst for ESPN. He also has a hand in the Elite 11 for the top quarterbacks. High school quarterbacks every year, so a football guy through and through. And, you know, I really forgot about where he went. I don't want to make myself sound like a big Trent Dilfer fan because, to be honest with you, didn't know who he was until I saw him on NFL Countdown one day. Mm-hmm. But he has been away from ESPN for a while. Les Carpenter, the Washington Post, he writes about the Washington Redskins for the Post. He put out an article today, he put it out this morning about Mr. Dilfer. He tweeted it out. In his tweet, Mr. Carpenter says, quote, this is Dilfer talking, "This is pain repurposed into passion. How Super Bowl winning quarterback Trent Dilfer left television behind and gave up a comfortable life to coach a high school football team 16 years after the death of his son." So it's pretty heavy stuff.
Oh, wow.
He titled it, "Why is Trent Dilfer coaching high school football? One reason is the son he lost." Mr. Carpenter, and I believe Dilfer is over in Nashville, I believe.
Yeah, I think I heard that. I think they were talking about that during the draft or something like that.
Lipscomb Academy over there in Nashville, yeah. He starts the article off by saying, "Trent Dilfer is pushing now. Dusk has returned to dark in the third spring practice for the high school football team he plans to build into the nation's best. And his players are tired, their shoulders sag after a long night. They want to go, but he won't let them. Lipscomb Academy won only 3 games the last 2 years and had everything Dilfer has heard in the 5 months since surprising everyone, including himself, by moving from Austin to be the coach here is that the team kept falling 2 yards short. So he places the ball on the 2-yard line and asks the offense to line up against the defense and run the ball into the end zone. It's just 2 yards," he tells the players. He continues by saying, "But this isn't about 2 yards on a dusty field. It's about will. It's about resistance. It's about reaching deep to find unknown reservoirs of strength that will keep them going when all they want is to give up in exhaustion. It's about drowning the voices that say they shouldn't push too hard or the excuses that sit a finger tap away on the phones stashed in their lockers. It's about the ball, the goal line, and the abyss in between. It's about everything Trent Dilfer is going to teach them the next few years." The Lipscomb players crash into each other again and again, fighting over the end zone. They do this 29 times until finally Dilfer's offensive line coach, Bruce Kittle, the father of San Francisco 49er tight end George Kittle, says, "Coach, we've got to stop. They're done." Dilfer nods. He pulls off his sweat-soaked cap. And it's hard to know who is more drained, the players who just ran 29 plays from the 2-yard line or the coach who asked them to do it. 6 months ago, Dilfer had never heard of Lipscomb Academy. He also scoffed in January when his friend and former Seattle Seahawks teammate Matt Hasselbeck first contacted him on behalf of an acquaintance about the job. Why would he leave Texas to be a high school football coach at a small Christian academy in Tennessee? But it had been 18 years since he won the Super Bowl as the Baltimore Ravens quarterback and 2 since being fired from his job as a TV analyst for ESPN. I didn't know he was fired.
I didn't either.
Makes sense. It makes sense, though.
Was it when they had all those, like, cutbacks?
Yeah.
I think, now that
I think about it, I do remember his name being mentioned. I think he was one of the very first let go or one of the bigger well-known names at ESPN to let go. But nevertheless, yeah, he was fired. Let's see. It goes on to say, he was almost 47 and nagged by this sensation he wasn't doing anything meaningful with his life. The Lipscomb people told him they wanted to build something big, and impulsively he said yes. He wants to make Lipscomb, which has 1,200 students ranging from kindergarten to 12th grade and is affiliated with the university of the same name, the most important high school football program in the country, where the best prospects want to play in state championship trophies sit on their shelves. And yet he is obsessed with something else too, the hurting that never goes away, bringing tears to his eyes when he talks about his only son who died 16 years ago, or the career that never matched the promise of being the sixth overall pick in the 1994 NFL draft. He looks back and sees more interceptions than touchdowns, battles with former coaches, strained relationships in the television life, and he knows that sometimes he was too intense and too sure he had to be right. Dilfer says, I think what this is pain repurposed into passion. The pain of all my knucklehead mistakes has been channeled into not letting others make those same mistakes. He has stormed into his new job much the way he prepared for games as a player, with a blazing drive to do it all at once. His days start before dawn and don't end until after midnight. And with his wife, Cassandra, and youngest daughter staying in Austin until the end of the year, he crashes with two of his assistant coaches in a mansion owned by a friend of his pastor that's next door to Sheryl Crow.
Hmm. Wow.
Okay. His phone buzzes constantly, his calendar filled with more appointments than he can keep. He wants to invent a new offense and new ways of thinking. Okay, let's see. Let me scroll down a little bit. I want to get to the part about his son. I was not aware about his son passing away as when he was younger. I'm trying to find where that starts, because this whole thing is about he wants to he wanted to be a coach, or he is a high school coach now because his son would be in high school. Let's see. I can't find it now. But it's about his son would be playing high school football right now, so he wants to be a coach because his son can't play. Mm-hmm. I can't remember why he – did you see that?
No. That's
see the fault. Ghost?
Yeah. There's a ghost,
the ghost in
here.
In here?
There's a ghost
on.
In here.
Let's see. I can't find it. But, yeah, that's the gist of it. He moved to Nashville to take over Lipscomb Academy because his son would have been a high school player. I'm trying to find out how he died.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. I didn't know that he had a kid that died.
I didn't either. Let's see. Years ago, Dilfer taught Steve Young's son to throw a football. It might be one of his most satisfying accomplishments. Imagine he, Trent Dilfer, a player with a 70.2 lifetime passer rating for five teams in 13 years, teaching the child of a Hall of Fame quarterback to throw. But Dilfer's imperfection as a player made him a brilliant teacher in retirement. He worked hard to be an average NFL passer. Young never had to think about how he threw the ball. He just threw it. Let's see. I know how to teach you how to throw it, Dilfer says. I know how to teach you better ways than anyone else how to do it. I know how to get you to tackle a guy better than most people. Not only do I know it, I know how to communicate it. I don't mean to sound arrogant at all. It's almost burdensome, he says. I just know that's what my gift is. That's what I did on TV. I can communicate to the grandma, the 12-year-olds, the reporter, and the gambler. Let's see. Continue on by saying, at first he was angry when ESPN let him go, but now he sees it as a blessing. And 11 years of confusion and roaring out in the 20-hour days of building a football power. I think this is the passion that's been sequestered to me for a while, Dilfer says. I am passionate about my kids. There was purpose there, but professional passion, I think it's all just kind of coming now. This is very long. I can't read all this. But it talks about him being a coach now. It talks about his son passing away 16 years ago. For some reason, I cannot find that. And it talks about how he has channeled that aggression and anger into becoming a coach at the high school level for his son. So earlier when I read it, I'll tell you what, it's a touching story. It really is.
It sounds touching.
We don't really talk about the touchy-feely kind of stuff. We talk about the good news with Tennessee. We talk a lot about the bad news with Tennessee. But when it comes to stuff like this, we don't really talk about it. I wish I could find that piece where he passed away. But, yeah, that was really the main driving point, other than being out of a job, being fired from ESPN. It just so happens his son would have been a high school football player, more than likely. You know, there's no guarantee he would have been, right, but more than likely. And so he decided to go the high school route because of that. So if you have time, let's see, it's on the Washington Post website. If anybody wants to go read the entire thing, it's a book. So make sure you have about an hour to read it all. But yeah, very good piece of Mr. Dilfer. And I'll tell you what, One of my favorite ESPN hosts, especially NFL guys, that ESPN's ever had. I feel like a lot of people they have, if we're being honest, they suck. They really do. They know how to communicate, but when it comes to things they talk about, they just suck.
Yeah. I like the days when it was a Sunday countdown with Berman, Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wasn't Dilfer a part of that for a little bit?
He was like more towards the end, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was those three, and then I want to say a fourth maybe, but yeah. Boomer, Tom Jackson, yeah, the best. And now they have – if you played at least one down of football, that's good enough for them.
Yeah.
So, which, I mean, makes sense in a way. But yeah, wanted to pass that along. Go give it a read. A very good, very long read. A very touching story about Mr. Dilfer and his road to Lipscomb. I didn't know Lipscomb Academy was part of Lipscomb University, which it makes sense, you know. But
yeah, yeah, so I didn't know that either.
They have like a school. I live, all their campuses are like separate from each other, but I live pretty close to the elementary school.
Okay.
Back in Nashville. And Lipscomb's a pretty big school. So that's a good job, you know.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, when you first read the headline, you're like, a high school coach. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He worked at ESPN, but and then you see which one it is, and you're like, well, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's kind of just one step down from a university or a college anyway. But, that's all I'm going to say on that. This thing is huge. Still trying to find let's see. No, that's not it. I thought it was it. So go give it a read. Read all of it. It's a very good story, a very good piece by Mr. Carpenter over there at the Washington Post. That's all I have on that. Coming up next, we have the birthday game. We have Matt, and we have Julie again. We will see if Matt can redeem himself after yesterday. A much better day in names today. Many more names today than yesterday. So it should be a fantastic game. You don't want to miss it. We have the showdown of the week coming up.
Let's go.
You're listening to Overtime on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's all about the game. You know the music. You know what time it is. It's time for the birthday. It's Matt against Julia. And I'll tell you what. We have some phenomenal names. Phenomenal names for the most part. I'm not going to say they're all great. But overall, as a whole, as a class, yeah, they're pretty good.
What's the grade?
Let's see. Let me do another quick head count here. We have nine.
Okay.
We have nine today.
Know this day in history?
Know this day.
Yes.
I mean, we might do one just for fun, you know, but no. Nine birthdays, maybe this day in history, but we'll see. Looking at the names, the grade I will give, it's got to be about the same as yesterday, maybe a little better. B+.
Okay.
B+.
Like that.
I liked yesterday's
list. I think A- might be a little too strong.
Mm-hmm.
I think B+ is fine.
All right.
So let's go ahead
and
get started.
All right.
Let's start with this man. He is 37 years old today, an actor, born in Boston, Massachusetts. Let's see. I won't give that movie yet because that is what he is really known for. A couple movies. He was in Not Another Teen Movie in 2001, Cellular in 2004, Snowpiercer in 2013.
Chris Evans.
Yes. And also known as Captain America.
Yep. Man.
And Avengers. Fantastic Four in 2005.
Yep.
Let's see if there's anything else on here about him.
I love Captain America.
He has dated Jessica Biel, which talked about her.
Mm-hmm.
I won't mention that. Lily Collins and Jenny Slate. I don't know who the last one is, but good for him. So, yeah, he is 38 today. Happy birthday, Chris. Let's see. These next two, well, okay, I'll say this. This third one will be fairly easy, and you'll understand why here in a second.
All right.
She is 32 years old, born in Los Angeles, California, an actress. Let's see. She is known for playing a role in this hit TV series, sitcom, that aired on ABC. Let's see. She had. She's known for other movies that bears her name.
Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Yes. Well, Mary-Kate, yes. And then the next one is, yeah, Ashley.
They're twins, yeah.
So, 2-1 Julia. Sorry, Matt.
Yeah.
That one was,
oh, man.
That one was going to be, that was a 2-for-1. That was
a 2-for-1.
That one was tough. I didn't know how I was going to go about that because, of course, there's one more left. So, yeah, Mary-Kate and Ashley. They are 32 today. Happy birthday to them. I wonder what they're up to.
32.
Not a whole 32. Lot.
I remember watching that. They were on Full House, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course they're on Full House. They were Michelle.
Michelle.
Mm. Okay, we'll move on. Let's
see. One of my favorite gifs/gifs is Michelle shoving the spaghetti in her face at the at the dining table.
Yeah, that's one of the all-time
love
greats.
It.
One of the all-time greats for sure. We move on to another actor. He is 65 years old today. Born in Denver, Colorado. Let's see. He is also known for a TV show, a sitcom. It ran for a long time. He has also voiced Pixar movies. He's also known for a very well-known holiday movie series.
Tim Allen.
Oh.
Tim Allen. Yeah, Home Improvement. And then, of course, Buzz on Toy Story and the Santa Claus film series. He was also in Galaxy Quest. And then, as of late, he's been Mike Baxter on the ABC sitcom Last Man Standing.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Allen. I'll tell you what, one of the GOATs. One of the absolute GOATs. In 2012, he won TV Guide Magazine's Fan Favorite Award for Favorite Comeback.
Wow.
Good for him.
Yeah, I would have
I like him.
I would have gotten that wrong. I knew it was Tim Allen, but I was going to say Tom Hanks just because of Toy Story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would have gotten that wrong.
I get them mixed up sometimes, too. I forget who's Woody and who's Buzz.
Yeah.
It happens to the best of us. Okay. Who did you get that? Who got that one?
Me.
Did you get that one? 3-1. Okay. 3-1. So let's see. Best to five.
Okay.
Yeah, best of five because we have not. Best of fives. 3-1, Julia. Up next, 44 years old today. I guess you could put him under actor, I guess, is one of the easiest ways to categorize him. Oh, wow. Shockingly enough, I thought he was an American. He's not. He is born in London, England. Let's see. He's an actor. He was in a television series, very well-known television series. The TV series led to several movies, several films. He graduated from Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey's Clown College after dropping out of the University of Miami.
Clown College.
Yeah, Clown College.
Let's see. He starred on Wild Boys from 2004 to 2007 and appeared on the 2009 season of Dancing with the Stars, where he finished eighth.
Oh, I know this. Oh, man.
Let's see. What he's known for, we'll give it away. The TV show / movies he is known for is another name for...
Is it Steve-O?
Steve-O.
Yeah.
I was going to say a donkey.
Oh, yeah, Steve-O. Yeah.
Who's the other one in
Johnny
Wild
Knoxville?
Boys?
Oh, no. Let's see if it says on
It's there. Not Bam, is it? Because Bam had his own show.
Was it Bam?
I can't remember. I knew it was Steve-O. I thought it was the other guy for a second, but...
Let me look it up. Yeah. I want to say, because I know that's how they got discovered. Bam had like a weird... No, it's not Bam. It's, oh, what's that guy? The guy with the long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. God, what is his name? Hang on. It's going to bother me if I don't find it. It's like the really weird guy with the long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Steve-O. Jeff. No, not Jeff Tremaine. Chris Pontius? Pontius?
Chris, maybe?
That's his name on here. Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely him. I just never knew his name. Yeah. Yeah. Bam was not in that, surprisingly. But he did have his own kind of show.
Those sketches they used to do on Jackass when he would just mess with his parents. I thought they were always the funniest.
Oh, yeah.
They're the best. Yeah. Okay.
He's a weird guy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a weirdo. Yeah, he's a nerd. Let's see. 3-2 Julia still. Still anybody's game. Let's see. We move on. This one might be a little tougher, maybe. She's 32 years old today. She's an actress. Born in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, no idea.
Okay. Brynmawr. PA. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's an actress, a comedic actress who became known for her roles in Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, and she was also in the Thor films.
Oh, Kat Dennings.
Kat Dennings.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And then she's also Two Broke Girls.
Yes.
She was also on The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Big Mama's House. Her very first appearance was in the 2000 episode of Sex and the City.
Yeah.
However.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, Two Broke Girls is what I know her from, which is over. I didn't know it was over.
Yeah.
That was still running. 2011, 2017. Interesting. Okay, 4-2, Julia. Julia takes the game with the next one. But, Matt, there is still some hope. Let's
don't call
see.
To come back.
Yeah. Let's see. Next, we have let's see. Oh, he's passed away. Quite young, too. Let's see. He would have been, let me do some quick math. Hang on. I didn't know he was dead. I thought he was still alive. He would have been 24 today. He died back in 2013. When he was, he was 18 when he died. He would have been 24 years old today, so very young man. A rapper from Winfield, Louisiana. A teen rapper who signed to Dream Chasers Records and was tragically killed in 2013. He released his first mixtape in 2012. It was entitled 16 and Running the Mixtape.
Oh my gosh, I have no idea.
He released his second and final mixtape, RNIC, on April 13th, 2013. And that's really
no idea.
2013.
Dream Chasers is Meek. Is that?
He was signed to Dream Chasers Records by Meek Mill in 2012.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay.
What does it start with? What does he start his name?
Well, it's not.
Rapper name.
I don't think this is his real name. His rapper name, the initials are LS.
And he said he died in 2013 at 18 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I have no idea.
LS, those are his initials. His real name, I don't think it gives his real name.
It's got to be Lil Something.
It is Lil.
Yeah,
L-I-L. Lil. Yeah, it is Lil Something. Lil S.
Lil Shouty?
No.
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah.
That ain't it.
That ain't it.
Y'all know?
I don't think I'm going to get it.
Julia, do you know?
No, I don't.
Do y'all know who Lil Snoop is?
Lil Snoop.
I want to say it sounds familiar, but I think I'm just...
You know who Lil Snoop is?
Okay. Never heard of Lil Snoop. Do you know who Lil Snoop is?
I've heard of the name. I don't know anything he has, but I have heard of the name, so cut my eye. Okay, I was kind of shocked. I thought somebody would get that.
R.I.P.
Okay, so still what? 4-2? Yeah. Still 4-2? So maybe now we will need a This Day in History. We will see if Matt can make a miraculous comeback.
Oh, gosh.
Up next, 29 years old today. Professional basketball player in the NBA. He is born in Gastonia, North Carolina. An NBA and international journeyman who bust onto the scene of the NBA with the Miami Heat. He played at Marshall University. Let's see. He played at Marshall where he was Conference USA Freshman of the Year and second team All-Conference USA. He was taken 33rd overall by the Kings in the 20. And he would also do a couple of D-League stints as well as play overseas in China and Lebanon.
It's not Deion Waiters, is it?
No.
I have no idea.
Y'all know who this is. He plays for the Heat. Who's the Heat's big man?
Oh, Hassan Whiteside.
Hassan Whiteside.
Oh.
Yeah. Hassan Whiteside.
I didn't know he was drafted by the Kings. That he was a journeyman. I didn't know he played overseas.
Yeah,
I thought he was straight into the league.
No, let's see. He was an NBA D-League champion with the Sioux Falls Skyforce. He put up his first career triple-double against the Chicago Bulls in 2015. So he was drafted by the Kings and then went to the D-League, then China, then Lebanon, and then now the Heat. So wow. I thought the same thing. I thought he just kind of came on
with
the Heat.
I remember hearing of him like, what, 3 or 4 years ago
mm-hmm.
on the Heat?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's pretty good. And
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Happy birthday to him. Okay, 4-3, Matt. Oh, it's getting juicy. Let's see. Who do we have next? Okay. If Matt gets this one, I will have to look up This Day in History. This is the last one we have. This one might be a little tough. I don't know if you'll know his actual name, but you might. Another actor. He is 67 years old today. He is from Gothenburg, Sweden. So not an American. He is an acclaimed Swedish actor, well known for his roles in films such as Thor.
Stellan Skarsgård?
Yes!
No!
Look at the big brain on Matt!
Yeah, here we
go. Stellan Skarsgård!
I know who that is. is. He was in Mamma Mia.
He was in HBO Chernobyl, the new little miniseries.
Yes, he was in Chernobyl.
He was also. Yeah, he was also. What was his name on Pirates of the Caribbean? The one with the tentacles on his face.
That was him. Wow, Davy Jones.
Yeah. Or wait, was that him? No, that was. Was that him?
I have no idea.
It wasn't. It was Orlando Bloom's dad, but that wasn't the same guy, was it?
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
I think
name?
He was just a member of the crew.
Bootstraps Bill. Yeah.
Okay. That was his dad. That's him. Movies. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Dang,
this
okay.
day in history. Here we go.
Jeez.
Don't call it a comeback.
Oh, man. Matt, you are on the verge of an epic comeback.
God. Stop.
God, I'm nervous. Let's see what we got here. This day in history, June 13th. Let's hope it's something good.
Seriously.
Let's see. Come on now.
Give me something good.
Let's see. Ooh, this is pretty good. This is pretty interesting. On this day in 1966, let's see. The Supreme Court handed down a decision in a famous case establishing the principle that all criminal suspects must be advised of their rights before interrogation. Don't give me the name of the case. What is that known as?
Miranda rights?
Miranda rights.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yes!
Miranda rights. It took the game. Wow.
Good game.
Wow, what a game.
That was sweating.
Yeah. That.
My palms are sweaty.
God, that had me shaking over here. Yes, the Miranda rights.
Okay.
Back in 66 on this day, they handed down the decision in Miranda versus Arizona. So congratulations to all the police out there for that little spiel they have to give everybody.
Yep.
Julia takes the game. Congratulations to you. One of the better games we've had in a while.
Yeah.
Well
played.
That was a good game.
Well played.
That was a good game. I enjoyed every minute of it. Okay, let's go ahead and hit another break. On the other side, I'll find something to talk about. Probably Texas A&M mentioned that. A new rule for them at their football games and whatnot. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Overtime on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to Overtime. Real quick, only a few minutes left. I wanted to mention this before we had to leave. It looks like another SEC school will be serving alcoholic beverages at games. This time it is Texas A&M. This from Barrett Salee over at CBS Sports, fan of the station. Barrett Salee, he tweeted out earlier today, Texas A&M announces that beer and wine will be available to the general public at Kyle Field starting this fall. And I'm not shocked. I'm really not. I'll tell you what I am shocked at. I am shocked that there are already SEC teams saying that they will not serve it to the public. Alabama said they're not doing that yet.
Yeah.
Georgia's not doing it yet. I believe there's one or two more. I can't remember who it is, but there's already about three or four SEC schools.
Was it Auburn?
It might be. I feel like it was one of the Mississippi schools, maybe Mississippi State. I'm not sure, though. I'll have to go back and look. But that's what really shocked me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. But I feel like Tennessee is going to make that move as well, along with Texas A&M. LSU's already said they're going to do it as well. So, yeah, Texas A&M, the latest one to come out. I mean, I don't think anything terrible could really come out of this. But then again, what do I know? I think A&M, LSU, Tennessee, whoever decides to do it, is going to make a ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know those beers, those glasses of wine, they ain't going to be cheap.
Oh, no.
They ain't going to be cheap.
It's going to be going up.
Yeah. So there is going to be a large profit margin on that. So, yeah, Texas A&M, the newest SEC school to announce, they will be serving it to fans this football season. Let's go over to the fan-run phone lines. We have Roger on the line. Roger, what you got, buddy?
How y'all doing tonight?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So that's why I asked y'all, Julian. Yeah, that's why Julian and Koa. Why I asked you about the game tonight? It's a big game tonight. It's an important game tonight. Both hands. That's why I asked you how y'all said the game going tonight.
I touched on it a little bit earlier, Roger, but I think that this game is going to be close, like it was last game. I think Golden State's going to come out and try to keep it close, try to win for their teammate who just got hurt, try to win for this last game in their Oracle Arena. And we know the Raptors are going to come out strong, too. So I think it's going to be a close game, but ultimately I think Golden State is going to win this game tonight, and they're going to force a Game 7.
I got you. Was it at tonight?
It is in Oakland. So Warriors okay. are the home team tonight.
Oh wow, wow. So what's the key, Julian? What's the key? Who wins? What's the key? You think tonight is?
For Toronto, I think Kawhi needs to have a good night, and I also think the role players need to come out strong too. I think they need to contribute like they have been. It's really, really about a team effort for the Raptors and for the Warriors. I honestly think that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, I think they're going to have to carry the team tonight and score a bunch of points like they have been doing. So that's what I think the teams need to do.
I got you. That's gonna be it's gonna be interesting game to see what happens tonight, Julie. It's gonna be best important game. Her win's gonna key if the if it's over or not tonight. If it's gonna be so it's important. It's gonna be interesting game to watch. And you know tonight, you know, see how what happens you now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I have it on your bad time. So that's all I have. You have a good night. Hey, good night.
You too, Roger.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good night. While we have a few minutes left, I will mention the Tennessee freshman who just got on campus a couple weeks ago, last week actually, I believe. Their numbers have been announced for the upcoming season. We already knew the majority of them, a few of the stars in the class. Quavarius Crouch, 27, we all knew that. Wanya Moore, 64. Eric Gray, number 3. Henry Toyota will be at number 11. Let's see, who else here? Darnell Wright, 72. Savion Williams, 50. McBride, 71, even though he will never wear it. So that's kind of sad. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's it. That's it for us today on Overtime. We'll be back better than ever tomorrow. Y'all be good. See you then.